Have you ever wondered why old songs hit more than newly released or newly composed songs? Have you ever wondered why songs that were sung by our grandmothers in the olden days, old songs from Icilongo Levangeli, for example, or Amaculo Asewisile, or Difela in Sesotho, have you ever wondered why particularly these songs are more, so to speak, nicer, or they bless us more than recent or newer songs? That's what I'll be delving into today, and that's what has been placed in my spirit to talk about. And I'll just give you my perspective and what basically the Holy Spirit has been ministering to me about this particular topic. Welcome to Deeply Rooted. My name is Sinazo Kos. I am the host, and this is where we delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with the Heavenly Father. Because, I mean, we all have questions, you know, about everyday things that we go through in life, you know, whether it's big things or small things, whether it's things related to society, things we see on social media, in the news. There's nothing too big or too small for Deeply Rooted. We talk about it all. But the only difference is we look at it through the lens of the Word of God. So what God has to say about these things in His Word, what God places in people's hearts about these particular things. Because my mom always says, for example, if you want an answer for anything, go to the Word of God, go to the Bible, because the Bible literally has everything you need, you know, from the diet, your diet, the kind of friends that you should have, the kind of life that you should live. You know, it's literally a cheat code, if I can call it that. I don't know if that's an acceptable term to use, but it's literally one of the best cheat codes to living an abundant life. Because, I mean, that's what Jesus said. He said he came to give us life and life in abundance. So we look at things through the lens of the Word of God. We answer questions through the lens of the Word of God. So welcome, beloved. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are growing immensely as a family. The numbers do not lie. So thank you so much. Even to the new ones, welcome. Thank you for choosing Deeply Rooted. And we believe and trust that your lives are being transformed and you are not gonna leave the same way that you walked in to this podcast. Welcome to it, beloved. So today, as I said in the intro, we will be talking about why is it that, you know, these old songs that our grandmothers used to listen to, old songs that, you know, were written in the olden days, you know, in the 1700s, 1600s, or even long before that, you know, why is it that even gospel artists, they recycle these songs, and when they sing these songs, they sound new, you know, and I'm pretty sure you guys can guess which kind of songs I'm talking about. Like songs like Liza Lise, Dinga Lako, Yesu Wena Ungumhlobo, Om Sindisi, like Amaculo Asewisile, or songs from Icilongo Levangeli, for example, like Jabulani Singabantwana, or, you know, songs of that nature, basically, Noma Singahlupheka, you know. Those songs, whenever we sing those songs, whenever we hear those songs, they hit differently and they hit harder than, you know, modern songs, if I can call them modern songs, you know, songs of today that were composed today and in this day and age. Umbedesho, I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys know Umbedesho. I mean, it's a standard in some churches to sing Umbedesho every Sunday, you know. So why is it that they hit the way they do? And it's not only because of the way they were written. I mean, that's one aspect of them, because people back then could write, guys, you know, and I remember having a conversation with someone about this, and they said, perhaps it's because they were very zealous, basically that's a word that means being on fire for, being passionate about the message of the cross and the message of the gospel, because it was still new to them. You know, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I had an episode about how the gospel reached the shores of Africa, you know, the fact that it reached the shores of Africa long before colonization, you know, it reached the shores of Africa, you know, it dates way back to the early church, you know, in Ethiopia, and then it came to people like prophets, who's that prophet that I was talking about the other week, or Tatunzikana, you know, for example, people in the Xhosa tribe, and during those times, like during those early days where people had just heard about Jesus, had just heard about the gospel, people were so zealous about it. And you could tell in the way that they wrote, in the passion, you know, in the way that they wrote these songs and how passionate and how heartfelt the lyrics were, you know. So that's one aspect of it, you know, because those people could really write and you could tell that, you know, they sit with God and they have relationships with God and they literally have heart to hearts with God, you know, in the way that they composed these kind of songs. So that's one aspect of it. That's one aspect of why these songs hit the way they do and why they're as nice and nice sounding as they do, you know. But there's actually a far deeper reason as to why these songs hit the way they do, you know, apart from how well composed they were, apart from the fact that they remind us of back home. Because, for example, some of us are in faraway cities like Johannesburg, Cape Town, and they remind us of home, you know. They remind us of our home churches, of our childhood churches, you know. That's one aspect of it, you know. But there's a deeper spiritual reason, as I said, you know, and to explain this, I will just read a few scriptures, right? The first one I'm going to read is in the book of Psalm, chapter 44, verse 1, right? I'm just going to read, it's just three scriptures, right, from different books. So this one is Psalm 44, verse 1. It says, God, we have heard with our ears, our forefathers have told us the work you accomplished in their days, in days long ago. The second scripture I'm going to read is in the book of Psalm 37, verse 25. It says, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. And then the other scripture I'm going to read is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verse 4. It says, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. So these scriptures have one thing in common, beloved. They have one thing in common in that it's either someone talking about God or it's God talking about himself, right? For example, the first one says, God, we have heard with our ears, our forefathers have told us the work you have accomplished in their days and days long ago. So basically the writer of the psalm says, we have heard, you know, of your goodness, of the things that you've accomplished, of the ways you have manifested yourself. We've heard from our forefathers, you know, how good of a God you are. So basically this writer is saying in a nutshell that not only do we see you now, but we've heard that you have done it before in the past for our grandmothers, for our parents, for our great grandparents. They've told us about you. Our forefathers have told us about you, of the works that you have accomplished in the past, you know. So this is basically what the writer is saying. The writer is saying that it's very important for us to note that God's track record runs far behind us, or it runs back, it dates back to the past, basically. You know, he's not a new God. He's not a recent God. He's not a recent Jesus that we just got introduced to because we are young, because we were born in the 2000s or whenever. Yes, I mean, we heard about him now, but his track record is actually very, very old. His track record of being a good God, his track record of what he has done, it runs very, very far back. And we know this because our forefathers have told us about God, you know. And that's why we've heard, for example, our grandmothers and our grandfathers and our parents encouraging us to give our lives to Christ and have a life rooted in God, because he has a track record that is actually, you know, trustworthy, that can be trusted, you know. So that is what that particular psalm says. And then the other scripture I read was in the book of Psalm, again, chapter 37, verse 25. And this is David speaking. He says, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. This is one of my favorite scriptures, by the way, beloved. So David here is speaking of an experience that he himself has seen in his life. So he says he was once young, but now he's old. And in all his life, he's never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. So basically, that's him testifying of this God that, you know what? I don't only know God now that I'm old, but I've seen him all my life. From the time I was young to this time that I'm at right now where I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen a child of God forsaken by God. I've never seen their children begging for bread. It shows that David knows and has an experience of God as someone who shows up, as someone who remains consistent from the time he was young to the time that he's now old, you know. So I'm pretty sure you can gauge the pattern, beloved, of the fact that he's a consistent God, you know, because the first psalmist was saying, we've heard from our forefathers, you know, of the work that you've accomplished long ago, you know. And David is saying, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. So that speaks one theme, basically, you know, it speaks consistency. It speaks of the fact that God has a track record that can be trusted throughout generations, you know, because the first psalmist, as I said, was speaking about how our forefathers have told us, you know, that God is a good God, you know. Our forefathers have told us about the works that he's accomplished, you know, in days long ago. So it literally shows God's longevity, the longevity of his consistency, of his lordship, of his faithfulness, you know. And then the other scripture that I read is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46, verse 4, right? And here it is God speaking, right, through the prophet Isaiah. So God is saying, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. So God is literally saying here himself, he's saying that even to your old age and gray hairs. I think in Xhosa it says, niyawude nibe badala nibe ngwevu. Ubangwevu, it means to have gray hair. Niyawude nibe badala ndiyawuhlala ndinguThixo. Meaning, God knows this, you know, not only are psalmists talking about it, but even he himself said, even to your old age, even to your gray hairs, I will remain God. I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will rescue you, you know. So from the time that you accept Christ now, whether you're a teenager, whether you're in your 20s, whether you're in your 30s, from the time you accept Christ now and you give your life to the Lord, until the time you're old, until your old age, until you have gray hairs, he will remain God. That is a promise that he is making. He will sustain you. He will strengthen you. He will rescue you. That is a promise he's making here in this book of Isaiah chapter 46, you know. So it literally speaks to the theme of basically what I'm talking about, you know. And it goes back to what I was saying in the beginning, that there's a deeper reason as to why old songs, you know, amaculo asewisile or icilongo levangeli, there's a deeper reason as to why those songs hit the way they do. And as I said, it runs deeper than just the composition being good or the fact that it reminds us of home or it reminds us of our upbringing. I mean, that is very much relevant. You know, that too is very relevant because, you know, we went to churches, for example, we've seen doors open because of the prayers that our parents made, you know, the prayers that our grandparents made, the prayers that our great grandparents made, you know. So we are a product of those kind of prayers, and that is very much relevant to what I'm talking about. But another aspect that I'm looking at is the longevity of God's lordship, and that is another aspect that makes these old songs to hit the way they do, because it reminds us that, you know what, the God that I'm serving, the Christ that I've given my life to, is the same God that showed up for my grandmother. He's the same God that showed up in the days of David, you know, in the olden days, you know, where they said, even them during those times where they said, we've heard from our forefathers the works that you've accomplished, you know, where they said back then that I was young and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, you know, where God himself said, you know, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I will sustain you. I will protect you. I will carry you. I will be God in your life. I will rescue you, you know. So the reason why these songs hit the way they do is because they speak to the longevity of God. They speak to the longevity of his lordship. They speak to the longevity of his magnitude. The fact that he's a God that used to help his children fight wars and battles. The fact that he was a God who was faithful and answered prayers. You know, the fact that he's a God that we testify about even today in 2025. You know, not only is he a God that is consistent now, but we can ask people that have come before us. You know, I mean, there's a saying that says in Xhosa, it says indlela ibuzwa kwabaphambili, meaning whatever you want to know about anything, you need to ask from people who have walked the journey before you, right? So people who are older than you, people who have experienced life, or people who have experienced, you know, if we're talking about, you know, the workplace or corporate or careers or whatever, you know, people that have walked the journey in corporate longer than you have, you know. So it means that if you want to know anything about life, ask people that have come before you, ask people that have walked this journey before you, right? So the same applies in this journey with Christ, beloved. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you get born again and you give your life to the Lord, it's okay for you to ask that. You know what? How has God shown up for you, Grandma? Like, let's say you're talking to someone who's really old, you know, and for some reason, I like having conversations with old people because not only are they funny, but they have a funny way of making you understand things in a way that maybe your age mates wouldn't be able to make you understand things in that way, you know. So it's okay for you to ask them, you know, when it comes to this particular thing, how did God show up for you, or how did you approach God, and how did he manifest in your situation, you know? So when you do that, when you ask your forefathers, when you ask your grandmother or your grandfather or your father or your mother, you know, or your brother, your older brother, your older sister, you know, people that have given their lives to the Lord from the time they were young, during their days, because I mean, our parents lived at a different time, you know, than ours. Our parents lived, let's say, during the apartheid times, and our grandparents lived even before the apartheid times, you know, because apartheid was established in 1948. And before that, it was a different era, you know. So there's nothing wrong with you asking that during that time, how did you guys navigate this and that, you know, and how did your relationship with God rather put you in a place of being in victory or overcoming in that particular situation or at that particular time, you know? And you will see, beloved, you will see that, you know what, you will see a pattern of God's goodness. You will see a pattern of God's might, you know. So that's what I love about God. That's what I love about having a relationship with Christ. It's the fact that he's always relevant. You know, times change, people change, seasons change, you know, but God remains the same. The God that he was in 1955, the God that he was in 1876, the God that he was, you know, in the early church, even before the birth of Christ and the death and resurrection of Christ, he's still the same God that he is today, you know. And that's one of my favorite characteristics of God, by the way, his consistency, you know, his longevity, you know, he can be trusted. And one thing about God's longevity is it makes you trust him even more because, for example, I don't know if you guys have experienced this before, but I've had conversations many times, for example, with my father, where he likes name brands, like whether it's shoes or whatever kind of clothing quality. And he'll always say things along the lines of, you know, this is a very old brand. And because it's an old brand, you know, it's more trustworthy. And that's not only for name brands, but also like when it comes to cars and things like that, you know, cars that have been recently manufactured are less trusted than cars that have been manufactured, like that were manufactured long ago, you know. So it's literally very much important to know the longevity of God and to know the consistency of God, the fact that his track record runs far back to our forefathers, you know, our grandfathers, our great grandfathers, our parents, you know, our older brothers, our older sisters. They can tell you of this God that, you know what, you made the right choice by coming to Christ. You made the right choice by giving your life to Christ because we've seen him. We saw him in our days. We saw him doing things. We saw him manifesting. We saw him do this and that, you know. So anything that has a track record that runs far back is literally something that is trustworthy. It's literally something that is credible. You know, we speak a lot about credibility in my career in journalism, you know, so being credible and having a long track record or a long standing track record literally makes you so trustworthy as a brand or as something. So that's the same thing as our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father has a long standing track record. His longevity and his credibility knows no bounds because people can testify about him. People have testified about him. You know, people are our grandfathers, our grandmothers that have walked with the Lord, our parents that have walked with the Lord, literally know the kind of God that he is. So we haven't just given our lives to something that is fleeting. We haven't just given our lives to someone who has just been established, but he's God from the beginning, even before the beginning of time. You know, some people like to say that he exists outside of time. He exists outside of, you know, reality. He created time. He spoke time. He spoke the world into existence before it came to be. You know, he founded the earth just by his word. You know, he walked with people, you know, people dating think back to the Old Testament, people like Noah, he walked with people like Moses, people like Abraham, people like Hannah. You know, he walked with people that can literally say, you know what, we've seen this God. Even in the New Testament, he walked with the apostles. He manifested himself through signs and wonders. You know, even in our days, even, okay, well, before our days, you know, when people like Dadu Bing, who founded the Assemblies of God, or people like Dadu Ngidi, who founded the Apostolic Faith Mission, those were heroes of faith, you know, in the early 1900s. And he was the same God who literally manifested, you know, through healing miracles, through being a faithful God who sustained and provided, you know, even through the days of our, you know, grandparents, even through the days of our parents, you know, he's been that same God, you know. So just to put it in a nutshell, the reason why the songs hit the way they do is because they speak to the longevity of God's faithfulness and God's magnitude and God's lordship as a whole. They speak to the longevity of God, you know, not only because they are very nice songs, they were well composed, but also because it speaks to the longevity of God. It speaks to the longevity of the fact that he was known, of the fact that he's consistent, he has been consistent, you know. And that's why I like to say, for example, when it comes to secular music, right, songs get outdated. You know, for example, a song that was the December song for last year, or even 2 years ago, or even 6 months ago, you know, now it no longer hits the way it did back then, because it was not new. I mean, it's not new now, you know, it doesn't hit the way it did. But when it comes to songs like Liza Lisi Dingalako, or like songs like, you know, Icilongo Levangeli, like songs from Icilongo Levangeli, Loduma Izulu, all those kind of songs, right? The reason why they hit is because the person that we sing about, we are singing about someone who's always relevant, someone who doesn't get outdated, a message that doesn't get outdated, because the Bible, the Word of God, the promises of God, you know, it's relevant in every kind of, in every generation, in every season, you know. So that's one of the reasons, beloved, that these songs hit the way they do, because when we sing them, we sing about a God who was relevant in the 1800s, who's still relevant in 2025. We are talking about the promises that God made in the olden days, the promises that still manifest and are still real to this day, you know. So that's just part of the reason why these songs hit the way they do. And for example, when I speak of secular music, when you're someone who likes old songs, people look at you weird unless you explain yourself. You have to sort of like explain yourself that, no man, I'm such an old soul, you know, I like this kind of songs and these kind of artists because I'm an old soul, or they remind me of my days when I was still young, you know. But when it comes to songs like these ones, you know, songs from Iculu Lasewisile, or like any other songs like Umbetesh, or like, you know, the songs I mentioned at the beginning, when you listen to those songs, you don't even have to explain why, you know, you love those songs the way you do, you know, because they speak to the longevity, you know, of God, of the fact that the people that wrote about this God back then, they are the people that are testifying. They were the people that were testifying of that God. And Nati, like here we are, like where we are right now in 2025, July, we are still talking about the same God that was spoken about in the 1700s by Utatu Nzikana when he said Utiko Mkulu, by Utatu Tiyosoka in the 1800s when he said Liza Lisi Dingalaka Utiko Twenyani. So, you know, we are speaking about that same God, you know. So that's why it hits. It reminds you that, you know what, the same God who did it for my grandmother, the same God who answered my grandmother's prayers, the same God that my mom gave her life to, is the same God I'm serving. He's the same God who will show up the way he did. He's the same God who will be as mighty and strong in battle and will fight my battles for me. You know, he's the same God that I can come to boldly, because he's a God whose mercies never ever run dry, whose mercies are new each and every morning, you know. He's a God whose faithfulness never knows any bounds, you know. So that's why the songs hit the way they do, beloved, you know. And I'm a huge fan of these kind of songs. I know that a lot of people love these kind of songs because they remind us of the fact that, you know what, the God that our grandmothers sang about when they sang these songs, the God that our forefathers, our ancestors, people that died long ago, the God that they sang about, he's the same God that we are also praying to, that we have given our lives to, that we walk with on a daily basis, you know. So it speaks to the longevity of God. It speaks to the longevity of his faithfulness. It speaks to the longevity of his relevance and the fact that he doesn't change. Generations change, times change, trends change, you know, people change, countries, lands change, but he remains the same. That's why the Bible says, you know, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will remain. Meaning one thing that's consistent is the word of God. It's the word of God. It's God's promises. It's God's character. It's his might. It's his magnitude. It's his faithfulness. It's his mercy. It's his grace. Those are things, those are aspects of God and God himself that do not change. You know, so he doesn't change. He said it himself in the book of Malachi, one of my favorite scriptures. He says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." I like that declaration that God made about himself because it's true. You know, not only do we see it because our grandmothers testify of the good God that he was, and we also see him today, but he's also good and faithful and consistent because we see it in our lives, in our everyday lives. You know, people change, you know, situations change, seasons change, times change, trends come in and out. You know, there are certain clothes that you can't wear now because they were in fashion in 2013. And if you would wear them now, people would like look at you funny, right? So it shows the fact that our world evolves, you know, the world evolves and it's something that we cannot run away from, you know. The world changes, people change, times change. But one thing that we can hold on to is the fact that we serve a God who does not change. We serve a God that whatever comes, whatever seasons change, he doesn't move with the times, Bazalwane. He does not move with the times, you know. He remains relevant, you know. The same God he was long ago is the same God he is today. And as much, and he knows, you know, because I know maybe some of you may be asking yourselves, okay, but if he's a God who was relevant back then, how can he still be relevant now? How can he know the kind of issues that we go through now? Because maybe our issues are, you know, more authentic or different than the issues people, young people went through back then. But remember who we're talking about. Remember the magnitude of the person we're talking about. You know, God is all-knowing, he's omniscient, he sees the end from the beginning. So whatever comes doesn't come as a shock to him. Maybe it comes as a shock to us, to our parents, because they are always exclaiming at the fact that, you know what, times have changed and, you know, young people of today are going through this, this and that. But to God, that doesn't come as a shock. God knew. He literally knew from the beginning of time that in 2025, things would be the way they are, you know. He knew this. It doesn't come as a surprise to him. So that's why we need to trust that, you know what, he's a God who's faithful. He's a God who never changes. He's a God who's relevant and who's able to help us navigate even the issues of today. And as much as the Bible was written long ago, the encouragement and the advice and the ways of the Word of God are very much still relevant today. They are very much still relevant today. I will have a conversation about that probably in another episode where I just show how relevant the Word of God is to the issues and the things that we go through to this day and how relevant, you know, what is written in the Word is for us today, you know. But one thing that I want you to take away from this episode, beloved, is the fact that the longevity of our God is the reason why those songs hit the way they do. You know, they remind us of the fact that he's the same God he was to our forefathers. I mean, the psalmist was saying here in the book of Psalm 44 that he's heard of the forefathers that spoke of God, you know, of the things that he accomplished in days long ago. David said he was young, but now he's old, you know, and he's never seen the righteous forsaken. And God himself says in the book of Isaiah that, you know, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I am he who made you and will carry you, you know. So that's what I have for you today, beloved. And I believe that you will be blessed. I believe that you have been blessed, actually. And I trust and believe that, you know, as you listen to these songs, you'll get a new perspective on them, on why they are, you know, as relevant as they are and why they hit the way they do. You know, it's not only because of the good composition. It's also because of the longevity of God's lordship and the longevity of God's faithfulness and the fact that he remains relevant in an ever-changing world with his people and situations and seasons and times that change. He remains the same God. I believe that you have been blessed, and we have come to the end of today's episode. Don't forget to remember that you can find our latest podcast episodes on the Sowetan Live website under the podcast tab or across digital streaming platforms, Iono FM, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So be sure to check out other ones as well, the SL Cabinet. There's also Taking Rams by the Horns, and there's many more as well. So yeah, be sure to keep on keeping on, and I'm praying for you, beloved. I know that some of you guys are going through the most, but trust me, the God who showed up for people who went through the most, people in the Bible had so many issues, guys. Like people like Elijah, for example, the guy had depression. You know, there's a time where he wanted to die, you know, but God literally sustained him and gave him strength, you know. So I'm praying for you. He's the same God he was back then. He still is right now. He can show up in the middle of the dark situation, in the middle of what you're going through. Remember that our grandfathers, our grandmothers, our parents testify about the same God, and he is still the same today. Next week or next episode, we have a very exciting guest. Bishop Benjamin Dube is joining us. He will be in the building, and I know that a lot of you guys are excited about it because I've posted about it. And yeah, we won't have an episode next week, but we will have one the week after that where we will be talking to Bishop Benjamin Dube. So be sure to tune in, spread the word that Deeply Rooted is a podcast that is available for everyone who wants to grow their faith, who wants to grow in knowing God and just growing their relationships with the Lord. Anyway, this was Deeply Rooted. You are loved, you are treasured by your Heavenly Father. Until next time, God bless.